भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. So text number 15 has no purport, then we'll read number 16, which has a short purport, and then we'll go on to 17. Vaishyastu Varta Vittisyan Nityam Brahma Kolanuga Sudrasya Dvija Susrusa Vittisya Swamino Bhavat. Translation: the mercantile community should always follow the directions of the Brahmanas and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. For the sudras, the only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in his service. Text 16. Varta, Vichitra, Salina, Yayavara, Silochanam, Vipra, Vritis, Chaturdheyam, Shreyasi, Chaturottara, Varta Vichitra Salina, Yayavarha Silochanam, Vipravitis Chaturdheyam, Shreyasi Chaturottara, Varta Vichitra Salina, Yayavara Silochanam, Vipravitis Chaturdheyam, Seyasi Chaturottara, Varta Vichitra Salina, Yayavara Silochanam, Vipravitis Chaturdheyam, Shreyasi Chaturottara. Vartha, the occupational means of livelihood for the Vaishya, agricultural, cow protection, and trade. Vichitra, various types. Salina, livelihood achieved without effort. Yayavara, going to the field to beg for some paddy. Shila, picking up the grains left in the field by the proprietor. Uchanam, picking up the grains that have fallen from bags and shops. Vipravati, the means of livelihood for the brahmanas. Chaturdha, four different kinds. Iyam, this. Shreyasi, better. Cha, also. Uttara Uttara, the later compared to the former. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. As an alternative, a brahmana may also take to the Vaishya's occupational duty of agriculture, cow protection, or trade. He may depend on that which he has received without begging. He may beg in the paddy field every day. He may collect paddy left in a field by its proprietor, or he may collect food grains left here and there in the shops of grain dealers. These are four means of livelihood that may also be adopted by the brahmanas. Among these four, each of them in succession is better than the one preceding it. Purport. A brahmana is sometimes offered land and cows in charity, and thus for his livelihood he may act in the same way as a vaishya, by cultivating land, giving protection to cows, and trading off his surpluses. A better process, however, is to pick up grains from a field or from a dealer's shop without begging. Now we'll go on to 17. Jaghanyo natumang vittim anapadi vajendra vite rajanyam apatsu sarvesam api sarvasaha. Except in a time of emergency, lower persons should not accept the occupational duties of those who are higher. When there is such an emergency, of course, everyone but the kshatriya may accept the means of livelihood of others. Purport. The occupational duty of a brahmana should not be accepted by persons in lower social orders, especially vaishyas and sudras. For example, an occupational duty of the brahmana is to teach Vedic knowledge, but unless there is an emergency, this professional duty should not be accepted by the kshatriyas, vaishyas, or sudras. Even a kshatriya cannot accept the duties of a brahmana unless there is an emergency. And then, even if he does so, he should not accept charity from anyone else. Sometimes brahmanas protest against our Krishna consciousness movement for creating brahmanas from Europeans, or, in other words, from Mlechas and Yavanas. This movement, however, is here supported in Srimad Bhagavatam. At the present moment, society is in a chaotic condition, and everyone has given up the cultivation of spiritual life, which is essential, especially meant for the brahmanas. Because spiritual culture has been stopped all over the world, there is now an emergency, and therefore it is now time to train those who are considered lower and condemned so that they may become brahmanas and take up the work of spiritual progress. The spiritual progress of human society has been stopped, then this should be considered an emergency. Here is solid support from Narada Muni of the movement known as Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnanantimanandas Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshramalitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kultuvachalam Pangun Lunghai Degrim Yat Kripataraham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchakapa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Early on in our Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada, understanding the emergency, he was giving sannyas to young men in their early 20s because he understood it's an emergency. People are completely absorbed in sense gratification, not understanding the importance of spiritual life, of going back to Godhead. So he very much was in tune with this verse of going out of our way to help people who are suffering. So when there's an emergency, when there's some like natural disaster, so many people, they go out of their comfort zone to help people that are suffering. Like when there's some tsunami or some big earthquake or flood, you know, doctors, they leave their homes, and you know, so many people, thousands of people sometimes, they leave their comfortable situation to help people that are suffering due to this disaster. Sometimes they sleep just, you know, a few hours at night, and they work so hard, very austere conditions that they live in, because it's an emergency. Right? So compassionate people, they try to help people that are in this awkward situation. So devotees are naturally very compassionate, so they want to help people that are suffering. So the whole world now is in an emergency situation because everyone has forgotten Krishna. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the only lack in society is Krishna consciousness. So therefore Srila Prabhupada, he started this Krishna consciousness movement on the instruction of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it's going on, it's carrying on. People are benefiting all over the world. Yesterday I was distributing books in Santa Monica Promenade, and I approached one man, businessman, and I was showing him the books. And he said, you know, I don't think this is an accident that I'm meeting you. Because just recently, just a couple of days ago, a very dear relative of mine, my uncle, he passed away. And now you're giving me this spiritual wisdom. So I showed him the changing bodies, how actually your uncle's not dead. The soul continues according to to karma. So we talked some more, and he was very, very appreciative of having Srila Prabhupada's books. He was suffering, you know, because of this traumatic experience. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he once said that the greatest blessing of God upon the living entity is for him to suffer. Interesting. Because that's when people start questioning, start searching. Arthur de Gyasa Artarti. Krishna says there's four types of people that approach him. And the first one is the suffering, people that are suffering. They search for God. So it's a blessing in disguise. And Queen Kunti, she prays, Vipada santutasasva, tatra tatra jagat guru, bhavato darsanam yatat apuna bhavadarsanam. She prays, please, give me calamity. She's asking for suffering. Calamity means suffering. Please give me suffering. Because when this suffering comes, then I take shelter of you. It's like a very common thing on book distribution. It gets a little difficult sometimes. And then what do the Sankirtan devotees do? What do we do, Sachi? Sachi Tanoi, what do we do? We pray to Krishna, Krishna, please help me. It's difficult. Please help me. Give me some inspiration. Please purify me of my contamination. Please help me to distribute these books. So it's good. It's a blessing in disguise. So everybody's suffering in this world. Some people, they know it, and some don't. But people that are living very comfortable lives, they have money, handsome, beautiful. Janmaiswarya Shutashivya Edamana Madapamang Naivarha Tavitata Tomakinchana Gotra. Queen Kunti, she says to Krishna, you are very, very easily approachable. Except for those persons who are very attached, who want this high birth, janma, aishwarya, opulence, shuta, education, shri, beauty. For such people, it's very difficult for them to call out your name with sincerity. So therefore, you'll see in the first world countries, especially in Europe, atheism is rampant. It's just increasing daily. Yeah. They have some opulence. So, yeah, everything's good. Why should I pray to God? Yeah. Everything's good. It's all good. Why should I serve some God? But you go to third world countries, you go to South America, everyone practically, you know, 98% of the people practically believe in God. Yeah. You go to Africa, you go to third world countries, people practically everybody believes in God. Yeah, because they don't have that opulence. Yeah. So the purpose of giving this knowledge out is so that people can become free of their sinful activities. Just like we heard this morning, the Jagai and Madai, they had one fault. Anybody remember what that was? They were addicted to sense gratification. And that's the one fault amongst many, actually, that's permeated all over the world. People are addicted to sense gratification. They think that by sense gratification, I'll be happy, I'll be satisfied. But there's a problem there. They're not their senses. They're not their body. They're not their senses. They're not their intelligence. Evam bure parang vudva sam subhyatmana matmana. Prabhupada gave a nice example I was listening to recently. He said, people are thinking that they're their senses, but they're not their senses. But they have real senses. But they're covered. Just like if you try to eat something, but your tongue is covered with plastic, how can you enjoy the taste? Not possible. It's covered. So we have real senses, but they're covered. So therefore we can't enjoy. Therefore people are frustrated. There's no happiness in the material world because everyone's covered. Their senses are covered. Their consciousness is covered. Everything's covered. So this process of Krishna consciousness is uncovering. Yeah. Uncovering. So we understand who we really are. So that our real senses, we can get our real senses, our real, true consciousness. Now it's our consciousness is stunted. It's natural for the living entity for his consciousness to increase, to become, you know, more advanced. in consciousness, elevation in consciousness. Therefore, we have one book, Elevation in Consciousness. Right? So it's stunted now, because what do they have in society? What is being offered now in society? You go to the universities, they teach the main topic. Anybody know what the main course is in the universities? Take a guess. Anybody know? Business. Yes. Why? Money. Money. Get money, then? Sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada was preaching at MIT back in the early 70s. And he was speaking to the students, and he said, why is there not a course where you could learn about the soul? No. There is no such course. Throughout the world, until you go to the Bhaktivedanta College, there people learn about the soul. Yeah. So the information that is given is very, very limited. Just like we have these garden nurseries, you know, people, they have these trees and these pots. But sometimes people, they don't buy the trees. So what happens? You know, the tree is still growing in the pot, but it wants to expand. But there's no space. So what do the roots do? They're hitting the wall. And the roots just get all entangled in there. It just becomes an entangled mess, you know. And they can't grow. Actually, the tree at one point stops growing because it's all entangled. The roots are all entangled in there. So we naturally, the soul wants to naturally grow in consciousness. But everyone is stunted because there's no information given of who we really are. Yeah. They go and they hear how we're just a material body, that we're just chemicals. Yeah, so it's just, they're just increasing the illusion. So this process of Krishna consciousness is meant to help people come out of this stunted condition of existence. I remember when I first read the Bhagavad Gita, I was so happy reading the Bhagavad Gita, because I felt myself becoming free. My consciousness was expanding. Just reading the Bhagavad Gita once, I was like, wow, this is real knowledge. And I remember my brother, he said, he had graduated from college already, and he said, everything you're learning in school, 90% of it, you'll never even use. So I was thinking, then why waste my time, you know? And it's a fact. Most of the information people are studying in universities and you know, school, you know, all the different, very little of it is used. But in Krishna conscious literature, it can all be used. It could benefit so much, and therefore you can read it over and over and over and over again. And each time you read it, you get more and more information. Because each time we read Prabhupada's books, we're on another level of consciousness. So there's always more to appreciate. So Srila Prabhupada, he considered this an emergency. So he was making so many arrangements that normally wouldn't be there. But he made them to help society. A devotee is paradukaduki. He sees others suffering and it gives pain. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, right here in Cheviot Hills, he was driving. A devotee was driving Prabhupada to chant japa. And to the side of the road there was some big field and some people on the field. And Prabhupada asked, what are they doing? And the voice said, Prabhupada, there's some holes in the ground there. And people, they have sticks and they hit a ball in a hole. And they call it golf, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada started crying. He said, it's simply another way to forget Krishna. There's so many ways that people are forgetting Krishna. So the pure devotee, he's always thinking of ways to help people remember Krishna. And therefore, he's established this Krishna consciousness movement, all these temples. He said, I have these temples here so that people can come and they could hear about Krishna. Otherwise, what are they going to hear? They're going to hear all nonsense. Now there's so much distraction. Weapons of mass distraction. So much distraction. So it's difficult. But still, people are appreciating Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada's books. All over the world, people are joining our society. They're taking advantage. I was just speaking to Jayagauranga Prabhu. He distributed one book in Mexico, Monterrey, Mexico. He started a center down there. And he gave a book to one man and took it home. And he was appreciating it. Then his wife was appreciating it. His children are appreciating it. Now the whole family, they're all devotees. Isn't it? The whole family are devotees. Yeah. The one book made a whole family devotees. So this is happening all over the world. So many amazing stories are coming in from around the world where people are appreciating this transcendental knowledge. And what's happening? Their consciousness is expanding. And it expands so much. Brahmanda Brahmate Koni Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lifted Beach. That when one takes to Krishna consciousness, this bhakti lata breeds, this seed of devotion, it grows. And it's described that this bhakti lata breeds, it grows so much that it penetrates the universe. I mean, talking about expanding consciousness. it goes so much, it penetrates the universe and it goes right to the spiritual world. To the lotus feet of Krishna. And how does this bhakti lata bij, how does this seed of bhakti grow? It grows by what we're doing here. Hearing about Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And this is how we grow spiritually. This is how our consciousness expands. And we have to be very careful though, because there's weeds that can choke, that can stunt this creeper of devotional service. And what is that? Mainly offenses. Offenses to Vaishnavas, offenses to Krishna, offenses to the holy name. So you have to be very careful. Therefore, it's stated, Yavate Hyadhainyan, that an intelligent person will very carefully cultivate utter humility in his thoughts, in his words, and in his actions. Humility is so important. It's the crown jewel of devotional service. And therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he said that this verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Tarurapi Sahistana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, it should be worn around one's neck, strung by the holy name. This is the key. Prabhupada said, this is the formula for attaining love for Krishna. Humility. We're very, very, very small. 1/10,000 the size of a tip of a hair. But the false ego makes us think we're something. And therefore, psychologists, they call this the me generation. Right? I, me, and mine. Everybody wants to be the center of pleasure. So, no, we want to make Krishna the center of pleasure. Just like when there's parties, everybody wants to be like the center of the party. So in Krishna consciousness, we want to make Krishna the center of the party. Yeah. Always Krishna in the center. Yeah. In this way, it'll be a nice, wonderful Krishna conscious party throughout the world. Otherwise, what do they have? If they don't take to Krishna consciousness, then what do they have? Sense gratification. But sense gratification is boring. It's boring. Because it's an illusion. It's maya. And therefore, devotees aren't interested at all in sense gratification. But because people don't have this knowledge, they're interested in this sense gratification. We were interested in sense gratification. Then we got this knowledge, now we're not interested in sense gratification. Simply by getting this knowledge. So therefore, we have to get this knowledge out. Otherwise, they're just going to continue on, absorbed in sense gratification. From the womb to the tomb. You know, they're going to continue on. So we have to interfere with this illusory life. Put a book in their hand, the holy name. This is interfering with the illusion of material life. Thank God Prabhupada came and he interfered with all of our materialistic lives. Now we're all here. You know, in the morning we're chanting japa, we're dancing Mangal Arati. Such a nice life, nice Krishna prasadam, nice association. We're very, very fortunate. Inconceivably fortunate. So we should also try to help others become fortunate and understand this is still an emergency. Got to get the mercy out there. Got to get the holy name out there. Got to get the books out there. This is what will help society. Prasadam. Prabhupada said prasadam is our secret weapon. So in these different ways, we're interfering with their material life. I remember I was distributing books one time, and the person, he looked at the book, Science of Self-Realization, and he said, no, I don't want this. I don't want this, because I know if I read this book, I'm going to become like you. But I want to get married. I don't want to be a monk. So sometimes people can see that, they can sense it. You know, there's something serious, too serious for me. So, yes, but if we want to actually be happy, then we have to be serious in Krishna consciousness. So, is there any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. What? Microphone is just now coming. We have. Oh, what did I say back to the guy? he's asking, what did I say back to the guy that said, no, I don't want this. You know, I want to get married. You know, that was years ago. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I remember what he said. I don't remember. I don't think he took a book, though. Whatever it was I said, he didn't take a book. He was too much fear was there, you know. Oh, okay. There was an interesting incident. Archita Prabhu just asked me to repeat it. The incident I had at the farmer's market just last week. I was distributing, and I approached one man. He said, no, it's not my thing. So then he went on, and then he came back about 15 minutes later with his wife. And I asked his wife, hey, is that your husband there? She said, yeah, that's my husband. Ah, yeah. He's got good energy. So then I said to him, listen, it's not an accident that you're back again. Fate is in your favor. So I think you should have this book. He said, no, it's not my thing. He said, I'm a Jewish mystic. I read the Kabbalah. I said, no, you don't understand. We're not trying to change your belief. But there's always more to learn. Am I right or am I wrong? He said, you're right. All right, I'll take the book. So he took the book. Krishna's mercy. Yes, Sachi Tanoi Prabhu. Actually, this man, he gave such a nice donation. I gave him two books. He was such a nice
thank
job.
You very
yes.
much. Prabhu, the example that you just gave about the pot, it's wonderful. The pot, the roots cannot grow. So I was thinking that hearing the verses here that Prabhupada's explaining about, you know, the cows, the agricultural thing, the system, how it works, for modern citizens, to hear this is like utopia, it's like far away. They're living in the city, so they're packed up. They're packed up, they cannot expand more. So in our Krishna consciousness, we have like a big challenge, because as you mentioned, we hear many times, the weapon of mass destruction is attacking every living being. So Prabhupada also said that his work was like 50% done. 50% of his work is done, isn't it?
Right.
So it's a big challenge for us. Even devotees who come and join, they go back again eventually for whatever reason to work. So when I say it's a challenge, it's because we have to create more that environment in which they actually practice what we're reading here. Agriculture, cows, simple living is impossible in the big cities, even for devotees. So it's nice to hear about the stories of book distribution, and we meet people and we harinam. They come, they go back to the same city. So I just wonder if you could say something more about that.
It's a very good point. Well, now we're starting in a small way, now in Southern California here, with this property we have down there between San Diego and Los Angeles, Escondido. We have cows there now, and we're doing agriculture. So in a small way we're starting. Hopefully we're going to expand in that. I hope it expands. In Chapati now also we have a very nice farm community. In Chapati, outside of Chapati actually, 2 hours away, we have about 100 cows there, and they're growing all kinds of produce. And at this farm, you'll find the most intelligent farmers on the planet, because the cowherd men and the farmers, they're all either master degrees or PhDs. Or it's amazing. As I was speaking to one of the cowherd men there, I said, "So what did you study in school?" He said, "I studied engineering. Had a PhD in engineering." And he's taking care of the cows. And they all have degrees. There's about 60 brahmacharis there. They all have, you know, they're all graduated from college. And farmers and taking care of the cows. So that's a beacon for our society. Yes, Archita Prabhu. Oh, one other thing I'd like to say before. One thing is that we have many farms now. Around, it's just like here in America, we have so many farms, but unfortunately, none of us grew up as farmers. And when you get a farm, that's from previous families, generations and generations. The children, they grow up that, and they just know how to do it. But we don't have any farmers. So this is why our farms have been such a disappointment for our society, because we don't have farmers. So this is what we need. We need to cultivate farmers, you know, that can maintain farms, you know. So this is why we haven't been able to grow in that area. But then they go to the farms also, the same thing. You know, they can't live on the farms. You know, it's like, you know, they grew up in the city, try to live on a farm, so quiet, you know, they just go nuts, you know. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
So that's the point I was going to make, is that in the Kali Yuga especially, the example is set even by Krishna himself. His childhood was spent in Vrindavan, but what did he do for the rest of his appearance? He was in Mathura, then Delhi, then Dwarka. These are all cities. And in our recent memory, all of our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada going on back, they lived in cities. They didn't run away to the farms. Not to put down farms in any way, but the acharyas show that you can be Krishna conscious in a city environment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, magistrate, living in a big city. His son, you know, who was not married, but he stayed in the city. And then Srila Prabhupada married businessman in the city. So they've shown us that if you're serious about Krishna consciousness, you can be Krishna conscious anywhere.
Sure.
In the city. It's not an excuse that I live in a city, therefore I can't be Krishna conscious. This is the whole point. Kali Yuga means cities are expanding exponentially. I just saw some video, I mean, I can send you a link about how the cities, especially in China, they're so huge. We have no idea. We hear of Beijing and, you know, the big ones, but even the smaller cities in China are like bigger than LA. So many huge cities all around the world. In India, so many huge cities. So what are you going to do? You can't send them all back to the farm immediately. So we have to become expert at living in a city and remaining Krishna conscious and showing that example to other people. You can be a bus driver and be Krishna conscious. You can be a cop and be Krishna conscious. You don't have to run away to a farm.
Yeah, thank you.
Didn't Prabhupada say that his Guru Maharaj used to quote, "Give me a Calcutta man, I'll take a Calcutta man any day"?
I don't remember that, but that sounds like Prabhupada.
Yeah, I heard something like that.
Prabhupada always went to the cities because that's where he'll find the people. So that's one more question here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Prakash from Sydney. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. You touched a point when you said the period of emergency. I can remember early 60s. I was a child, and India was getting into an emergency in terms of spiritualism. There were political parties that were forming at that time, which were writing on the walls, "There's no God." And the reason of them bringing this statement saying there is no God in India was to actually address the Varnas. They had the Brahmanas. At the time, the Brahmanas were living in Agraharas, which were actually houses surrounding the temple. And they were doing Harinams every morning. They start about 5 o'clock and do their Harinams. And many of these Brahmanas were then progressing on to jobs like engineers and doctors, as you say. There was no such thing as management at that time. It was more like engineering and medicine. And these were kind of considered as higher order things that people will respect you. So it was all about respect and getting that. And these new governments that were coming were also trying to address friendship towards Russia and probably a bit of Chinese intervention that they had, communism coming in. And communism meant there was no God. According to them, it was more like people for people. Bringing God's name was wrong. And that is probably around 1965 and 66 when, and already Prabhupada has received his message from his guru to go abroad. And we only think of him going abroad to spread this moment, but his guru has already seen this coming, that he needed the help of the white elephants, as Prabhupada had put at the time, to come as a force to wake up India. So what we are seeing today, 40, 42 years later, even a little more, is what has happened during that period of emergency. It was prime emergency, it was the core of emergency in India at that time. Today I have seen some of these people who were the same people in the government at that time are still there. Some of them are very old men, but they're still in government, especially in the south where I come from. And these people have actually taken to godliness. They've gone to spiritual people because obviously they're getting old, and you know, that's one of the aspects to take you towards God, because who else can help you? My own name, for example, Prakash, was more an adjective. Usually people name children after the names of gods, so to speak. So that just like how we had the call of Narayan from Ajimela. Now, same way, they wanted the name of God in every child's thing so that the parents could call God's name. But here, it was an adjective. Prakash means just light or brightness, whatever, it's more adjective. And that was, reason was, if you were to go out with the name of, say, God, say, Narayan or Krishna or something like that, these fellows would stone you almost, like in Arabia. There was such serious emergency going on at that time. So, I thought I should probably highlight what many wouldn't have known as what was happening in the early 60s in India.
Hmm. Yeah, Prabhupada, at one point he said that 80% of Indians are atheists. You know, this is like in the 60s. So it's emergency all over the world. But, amazing, our book distribution is much bigger than anywhere else in the world. It's in India. India is huge in book distribution. And temples are going up everywhere, and it's amazing what's happening in India. Millions of books are being distributed every year. So there's, by Prabhupada's mercy, I think it's increasing, you know, Krishna consciousness in India. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.